live from Las Vegas, Nevada, at the KSHP studios. This is the Michelle Mortensen Show with your host, Michelle Mortensen, the fresh and fearless voice of talk radio, taking on the liberal media, the political hacks, and so much more. It's time to nix the narrative and get to the truth the way only Michelle can. Now, here's your host, the fresh, fiery, and factual voice of politics and news, eight-time Emmy winner, Michelle Mortensen.
Well, good Monday morning, everyone, or at least good Monday morning to those of you who are on the West Coast here. Everyone on the East Coast, hey, happy afternoon. It is the very last Monday of November. And boy, there is just so much going on. I hope you guys all had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday with your family and your friends, whether you stayed home, whether you got together. No judgment from me whatsoever, but sadly, quite a bit of judgment from folks on TV all weekend. Yeah, today, we are going to be nixing a lot of the narrative. If you want to be a part of the show, as always, you can give us a ring. 702-221-7283 is the number to call. If you want to contribute to the show, give me your opinion, add to the conversation. Would love to hear from you. But we are going to start by talking about everyone's favorite topic, and that was a little facetious. We're talking about COVID. The president actually tweeted early this morning something very, very big, and it is huge news. Moderna now applying for an emergency vaccine approval, must act quickly. Operation Warp Speed has been a great modern day miracle. Heck yeah, it has. I mean, that is the understatement of the year. Moderna and Operation Warp Speed has been amazing. Absolutely amazing. Pfizer has been amazing. But get this, Moderna said today, if they get their FDA approval, they've got 20 million doses ready to go by the end of the year. So everyone who told us that Trump was lying, everybody who said we wouldn't have a vaccine until 2021, they got to eat it, because Donald Trump was exactly right. We were going to have a vaccine by the end of the year. 20 million people could have it. Moderna now saying they could have 500 million to 1 billion doses next year. And they claim that everyone who got their dose, their COVID vaccine in the trials, not a single person actually got COVID. So they're claiming it is 100% effective. I know a lot of people have big opinions on whether or not to get the vaccine. We're not necessarily tackling that here today. I am just tackling that, number one, Donald Trump was right. Operation Warp Speed is one of the most amazing medical advancements of all time, and he should get all the credit for it, but we know he won't. How do we know that? Well, did you watch TV this weekend? Hopefully you had better things to do than watching the news, but we heard from two of our favorites, and that was sarcasm. Dr. Fauci and the Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, today with their scolding, their finger wagging, their natty natties for all of us Americans who maybe celebrated Thanksgiving. Let's hear from my favorite, Dr. Fauci, first. This is what he had to say on Meet the Press.
The surge with an inflection curve like this, the concern we had as we entered into the Thanksgiving holiday and as we're now coming out of the Thanksgiving holiday, is that the travel and the people congregating at dinners that you'd expect. We try to get the word out for people, as difficult as it is to really not have large gatherings of people, family and friends, but try to keep it confined to the immediate household. But people are not always do that. So we expect, unfortunately, as we go for the next couple of weeks into December, that we might see a surge superimposed upon that surge that we're already in. And, you know, and when I give that message, I don't want to frighten people, except to say it is not too late at all for us to do something about this. We know when you mitigate with masks, with distance, with not having crowds or congregate settings, that those states that have done that, you could actually see that the inflection of their curve starts to do this. Right. So we know we can do something about it, particularly now as we get into the colder season and as we approach the Christmas holidays.
Okay, liar, liar, pants on fire. I don't have to be a doctor. I don't have to be a scientist to know that. So here's so much I want to say here. Number one, that scolding from him was absolutely ridiculous. For those of you who didn't obey the rules, naughty, naughty. Number two, he said, you know, we know that those places that have done the mitigating efforts, it's worked. Oh, really? Oh, really? Because over in our neighbor, California, let's see, they haven't had indoor dining. You can't eat anywhere. You got to wear a mask. You've got freaking curfews. And the numbers continue to go up. That's very odd and interesting. Huh, I don't quite get that at all. No, we have not seen that any of these lockdown efforts have worked. There's no science behind it. There's no proof behind any of it. There's nothing that says any of that works whatsoever. Yet we keep talking about the surge, and then Dr. Fauci had to dare say, oh, and Christmas is coming. You know they want to cancel Christmas. You know that they want to cancel Christmas, and it's absolutely ridiculous. All right, now let's hear from the Surgeon General, can we? Because he was just ripe with ridiculousness when he decided to talk. He gave us a little scolding, too, and then went on to say that masks were freedom. Get this.
Due to the American people who kept it small and smart this Thanksgiving, millions of people did the right thing. For those who did travel and those who did attend large gatherings, and we want you to know it's not too late to take measures to slow the spread of this virus. You can still isolate. You can still get tested in 3 to 5 days. You can still take measures that have been proven to help us prevent cases, hospitalization, to death. Wearing a mask is an instrument of freedom. It actually will let my kids go to school. It will protect my mother. And you and I talked about this before the interview. My mother's in the hospital right now. I want people to understand that if cases and hospitalizations continue to go up, not only will it help hurt our ability to care for COVID patients, but if someone's having a baby, they may not be able to get a bed. If someone is having a heart attack or a potential stroke like my mother, they may not be able to get a bed. Your actions have consequences. And if you do the right thing, then it will bridge us.
Did you get that? If you do the right thing, it's going to bridge us all together. This is absolutely ridiculous. Number one, he said, my mom's in the hospital. She has a stroke, and that's just not good. You're right. It's not good. My grandma also had a stroke and was in the hospital, and is now no longer in the hospital. The hospitals are definitely overcrowded. They are all the time. You mentioned pregnant babies, pregnant women with babies. You're right. When I had my first child, there wasn't a bed for me either, and that was 8.5 years ago. Hospital overcrowding has always been a problem. So why hasn't one government official called in the National Guard and created hospital space? Remember back in March and April when we were so worried about COVID and we had hospital ships, people were turning convention centers into hospitals? My God, we're not doing any of that right now. Why is that? Why has not one governor taken a step to increase hospital bed capacity? Not a one. Not a one has done anything to address that issue. But they have unscientifically decided to shut down bars, shut down restaurants, stop alcohol sales, and make you wear a dang mask in your own home, which is absolutely ridiculous. Get this, in Vermont as well, where they have a Republican governor, this is not about Republican versus Democrats. It's about people who have a brain and those who don't. The Vermont governor said, hey, when your kids go back to school today, the teachers need to question those students. And if they had Thanksgiving, they will be sent home. Because Governor Phil Scott, a Republican, once again said there can be no Thanksgiving, no intermingling with the families, none of that. And he also encouraged businesses to talk to their employees about that and to also send them home. Did they dare celebrate Thanksgiving with their families? What the heck is going on here? This is what's happening in America. Isn't that also what happened in Nazi Germany? Isn't that what they did? They would take the Hitler Youth and they would indoctrinate the kids and they would tell the kids, this is what you need to do. And then they would preach, we are Germany and we're going to change the world. That's now what we're doing to our children. We're going to question them aside and say, did your mommy and daddy have Thanksgiving? Did grandma come over? Well, then you are penalized. And this is absolute ridiculousness. This is not America. This is what we are doing. Let me tell you, when you begin to low-key start accepting things as normal, that's when it takes over. That's when it takes over. You can get a taste and normalize things you don't particularly like. I used to take, after I had my sepsis incident in May, I started taking vitamin C every morning in a liquid form, and it tasted nasty. But after a couple of weeks, I got used to it, and it didn't taste nasty anymore because that gross thing all of a sudden became normal. Well, we are normalizing losing our freedom. And my friends, that should be a huge, huge concern to all of us. All right, my friends, we are about 30 seconds away from our first commercial break. It's shorter than usual, so stay with us because we are going to nix the narrative, my friends, on what the media is doing. And if you're wondering why I'm playing the Death March from Darth Vader, well, yeah, I mean, we kind of live in Darth Vader times, don't we? But there is big Star Wars news. Plus, Senator Carrie Buck is going to be joining us from the great state of Nevada and so much more. So don't go anywhere.
LadylikeClothing.com is a Las Vegas locally owned women's boutique created to cater to women who want to look their best without compromising comfort and quality. LadylikeClothing.com focuses on contemporary, well-designed looks with classic feminine styling. Ladylike Clothing wants to help you build a wardrobe you'll love with beautiful, functional pieces that are never overdone and always ladylike. Shop online today at LadylikeClothing.com.
Looking to sell or buy a home? There's no one better than your Las Vegas neighborhood realtors, Melissa White-Simmons and Tim Eaton of Urban Nest Realty. Melissa and Tim will meet your every need and go the extra mile to make sure you find the perfect house to call home. With Team Melissa White at Urban Nest Realty, you'll be taken care of every step of the way. Call Melissa and Tim today at 702-757-8605. That's 702-757-8605. License number 179020.
I make my living off the evening news. Just give me something.
Listen to that. That's right. So we've got some Don Henley Dirty Laundry playing right now. Why? Well, because, you know, that's just the most quintessential song to talk about the media. And, you know, I used to be one of those talking head news anchors. I guess I still am. Who people get just so annoyed with, right? So annoyed with, because they're always kind of just reporting their opinion. They're just talking heads. They just want all the dirty laundry. And it's true. We're going to go over a whole bunch of that here in this block. We're going to begin with, I don't know if you saw the news, but a lot of people have been talking about Joe Biden and his all-female communications team, how it's a first. This is just a first that we've got an all-female communications team. Let's see, former Vice President Joe Biden making history, they say, by having a female-led communications team in the White House. You know what the only problem with that is? This is why we nix the narrative. President Trump's communication team has been led by all women as well. Yet, it appears that the Washington Post, NPR, and many other media outlets totally forget all of that, didn't know that. They must not know that Kayleigh McEnany is the current press secretary. They don't know that communications director Alyssa Farah is a woman. They don't know that the vice president's spokesperson is named Stephanie, and yep, she too is a woman. Ben Williamson, a deputy advisor to the president, joked, rather than admit that these stories were wrong and that Trump was the first president to have an all-female leadership of his communication team, these reporters say, oh yeah, but men work there too. How dare they? Just so everyone knows, just in case there's any question, don't care if you love Trump, don't care if you hate Trump, just care about the facts and the truth. And under President Trump, for the first time in history, half of the senior leaders of the National Security Council are women. 12 of the 24 directories are led by women, including 6 regional directories that cover the world. Dr. Brix, Allison Hooker, Elizabeth Aaron Walsh, Sue Bai, and Julie Neshwat, all women. Oh my God. Yes, that's right. The Trump administration has done more for women than any administration before, but the media has just completely forgotten all that and acts like it's only Biden that's ever done anything. Absolutely ridiculous. Speaking of craziness with the media, let's talk a little bit about how the media reports things. I think you guys might find this interesting. I want to show you an image. This is from Google, and I just typed in the word Nevada suicides. And as you can see on your screen, it basically shows the first story is from Nevada Current, and it says suicides among youth, adults, not up during the pandemic. Okay, let's go down to Channel 8 story. It says, fourth CCSD suicide raises concerns of mental health crisis during the COVID pandemic. Okay, so the Current, a very liberal institution, says, no, suicides aren't up. Channel 8 is reporting 2 weeks ago about how there's another suicide in CCSD, and that is raising concerns. Okay, then we go to Channel 13, the ABC affiliate, and 3 days ago, police were investigating a suicide attempt. Okay. Then we go to Channel 3. Let's see. Young student suicide attempt shows the reality of mental health. Interesting. Oh, let's go to see what Reno's doing. On your side, Northern Nevada suicide rates decrease. What the fudge is the truth? Isn't that a great question? It looks like right there that you are actually getting a whole bunch of narrative. And some of the narrative says suicides aren't up. Other narrative says, well, suicides among children are really, really up. What's the truth? Here's the big problem, my friends. If you go and Google and try to get information right now from the government for 2020 suicide rates, you can't get them. No. I've got them. We do see that suicide is a leading cause of death in the United States, but the only tables we have for that are from 2018. Interesting. So you're telling me we don't have any data right now that shows whether suicides are way up in the United States? I can tell you this, that they do have the suicide rates in the United States by state. And I do know that in the state of Nevada, it is very high compared to even like the state of California or even the state of New York. But we don't have any suicide data. What's interesting about that is, well, Japan does. Yeah. Take a look at this. Earlier this month, they reported that in Japan, more people died from suicide in October than people died from COVID in all of 2020 there. So you're telling me that in Japan, they can figure out that suicides are killing more people than COVID and that they are releasing statistics on the regular, but the U.S. can't? You're telling me that the United States has no statistics whatsoever on how the flu has affected Americans. In fact, we don't have any flu statistics whatsoever. How on earth can that be? How can we not even have one single flu statistic? If you want to chime in on any of this, you certainly can by calling 702-221-7283. We will always take your calls. It is just very perplexing to me how we get such different information, such different messages from the media all the time. And the question is how is anyone going to trust the media if every different reporting institution has something different out there for you, has something completely different? One channel says suicides are up. The other channel says suicides aren't up at all. So where's the truth? This, my friends, is the problem. We aren't getting the truth anymore. We are getting something called narrative. Narrative is when you take facts and figures and you use them to prove your point, whether it's true or not. That's what narrative is. We could say right now that suicide is a leading cause of death in the United States. That statistic is from 2018, but if I want to make a point and say that suicides are up right now, I'll just use that statistic. It doesn't matter. And I can say, see, facts. But they aren't real facts. They're statistics that can be manipulated for a narrative. Just like we saw from Fauci and the Surgeon General, where they're saying that these preventive measures that states have been taking have actually worked. Show me where they've worked. Show me where closing down indoor dining has stopped the spread of COVID. Show me where wearing masks has stopped the spread of COVID. Show me where closing schools has stopped the spread of COVID. You actually can't show me any of those statistics because they don't exist. They aren't there. If any of these measures worked, we wouldn't be seeing a surge right now. Oh, but according to Fauci, according to the Surgeon General, we are seeing a surge. And it's because of all you bad, naughty people who did something for Halloween and all you bad, naughty people who had a Thanksgiving holiday. And if you did have Thanksgiving, by golly, why don't you go get tested right now? Because you are putting us all at danger. This is a ridiculous narrative that we are getting day in and day out, and it has to stop. It has to end, because if it doesn't end, do you want to know what's going to happen? The government is going to be in complete control of us. Right now, they're telling us when our kids can and cannot go to school. Right now, they are telling us what you can do and what you can't do in your own home. Right now, they are telling you what you can wear and what you can't wear. Right now, they are telling businesses that they have to close and there's nothing you can do about it. Is that the world that you want to live in? And the sad part about it is that the media keeps perpetuating the message that this is all about public health, that this is all about the greater good. For a virus that has a 99% survival rate. Man, the media has gone crazy saying, it's ridiculous. Yesterday, there was 1.2 million people traveling by air, the biggest number we've seen all year. This is so horrible. Is it? Is it? Is it horrible that people used their free will and made choices? Is it really better that the government come in and say, you can't do that, and if you do, there will be a penalty. You can't do that, and if you do it, you will be punished. Is that the world you want to live in? Because that is a world that sounds to me a lot like what Hitler wanted. A lot like what communism does. A lot what Kim Jong-un does in North Korea. You will lose your freedom, friends. You will lose your freedom if you don't start fighting for it. If you don't start fighting for it, it's going to go away. It is slipping every single day. Ask all those small business owners. Ask every person who owns a restaurant if they're happy. Ask every person who works in a restaurant and has now been furloughed again if they're super happy about this. Ask all those folks who run gyms who were shut down for months if this has really been beneficial to them and really enhanced their freedom. We keep talking about the number of cases going up by the millions, yet the number of deaths stays relatively stagnant. We're still not at 270,000 deaths. You do realize, folks, that there are over 330 million people in this country. And we are obsessing over 200,000 something deaths. We're not even acknowledging the deaths, on average, the 655,000 people who die from heart disease. We're not even acknowledging those that die from homicide or Alzheimer's disease. Look at this. The number for Alzheimer's deaths, 122,000. Unintentional injury kills on average 167,000 Americans. We're not acknowledging any of that. Not one of those are we acknowledging, but we are massively obsessed with the 260,000 something deaths. That's what we're obsessed with. And isn't it interesting that we can keep a tally of how many COVID deaths we're doing, that we'll keep that type of data, but we don't have any data when it comes to flus? We don't have any data when it comes to suicides? Listen, y'all, I'm not some freak show who says that COVID isn't real. I admit it's real. I'm not some freak show who's saying we need to pretend that it doesn't happen. Hey, I'm not even some freak show saying don't wear your mask. Wear it. You need to wear your mask to go anywhere. What I am saying is you are being manipulated. I spent my entire adult life working in TV news. I know how this works, but many of you don't. We have information and we present it with a narrative. And the news folks, they don't even know that they're doing it. They believe they're doing it for the greater good. They believe they're doing it because they need to inform you because you're so dumb you can't make the decisions on your own. And that if you had the same facts that they did, you would be smarter and you would do things differently. It's absolutely ridiculous. And this is the problem that we are facing. Each and every single day, our kids are being indoctrinated that COVID is out there, you need to wear a mask, and you need to be afraid. Yet every single statistic shows that kids do not generally die from this disease. Listen, I am so grateful for this vaccine. Whether I take it or not, I have not yet decided. But I'm grateful that it's out there because the more people who get this, maybe, you know, if every teacher gets it, maybe we can open the schools back up and quit making our children suffer. Maybe if everybody takes it, or at least enough people take it, we can have businesses open once again and we can quit screwing with people's lives and livelihoods. Maybe if people go ahead and take it, I think it should be done out of free will. Maybe if everybody takes it, we can get back to normal life instead of playing these stupid games, acting like hiding in your home and never going out and getting your groceries delivered is going to make a virus go away. No, it's not going to go away. It is not going to go away. But treatment of it has been amazing. The fact that we're going to have 20 million vaccines potentially by the end of the year, 20 million people vaccinated by the end of the year. Never in a million years did we think we would see anything like that. But this is the reality we're living in today. Yet the media wants you to be completely afraid. There's no reason to be afraid, my friends. If you want to live in fear, go ahead. But why should you make others live in fear? Why should we become more like a communist country every single day? We shouldn't. I swear, the media is just so excited to erase these last 4 years and to say Biden's going to be president and it's like Obama term number three. They're so excited about it. They're thrilled. They're tickled to death. But we're going backwards. We're going backwards with Iran. We're going backwards with climate. We're going to go backwards with COVID. He already said, Biden, that we have to learn to die with COVID because we can't learn to live with COVID. This is the man y'all elected. This is the path we're taking. And it's very, very, very scary. We shouldn't want anything to do with that. It's one of the worst things we could do. And many states are suffering because of it. My home state of Nevada right here is suffering because of it. And I do hope that my next guest, who's coming up after the commercial break, which will be here in just a few minutes, will do something to stop it. Her name is Carrie Buck. She was just recently elected to the Nevada State Senate. She is a Republican. She is going to be one of our saviors, my friends. We are going to end up following her for quite some time because she's going to be making a huge, huge difference. Also coming up in the show as it's time for our commercial break, Spence. We are going to be talking about Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell. Cancel culture is coming after it. Why? You will never believe it in a million years. And we are playing some Weird Al Yankovic right now. Fat. You want to know why? Because everybody's talking about the folks who used to be fat and are now super skinny. Why is this a big deal? Why do we care if people lose weight? Why do we care if Adele's skinny now? Why do we care if Rebel Wilson is skinny now? I mean, applaud their efforts, but why is America and the media obsessed with it? We're going to talk about that and so much more. But first, right after this break, give me a minute. We're going to talk to Dr. Carrie Ann Buck.
Saving money on your car insurance is easy with the team at InsureWise. The agents at InsureWise can find you the best coverage at the lowest price. Something the corporate guys just can't do. Great rates await on your car, home, life, and business insurance. Don't pay too much for insurance. Be wise and get InsureWise. Call 702-620-4825. That's 702-620-4825. InsureWise, the only wise choice for all your insurance needs. Looking for a professional, honest, and knowledgeable realtor who will tell you the truth about the Las Vegas market? Then you need John Kennedy and the team at Home, a real estate company. With 16 years buying, selling, and managing properties all over the Las Vegas Valley, there's no one better to serve you. Give John a call today at 702-640-0101 and let him lead you home. In a western town, the dead-end walls, the eastern boys and western girls. A little bit of Pet Shop Boys this Monday morning. Hope you are having a good one. Hope you had a fantastic, fantastic Thanksgiving holiday as well. I am very excited for 2021 to get here. I am very excited for the Nevada legislative session to get here because I know that we are going to be sending one of the most amazing women to go fight for us. Her name is Dr. Carrie Ann Buck, and she is the newly elected Republican senator for the Nevada in Senate District 5, and she is my guest here today. So let's welcome Dr. Buck. Dr. Buck, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me here today, Michelle.
Yes, I'm so glad to. People don't know, you are an educator by nature. You run an amazing school and you know a great deal about education. You're going to be one of our biggest champions for education. And I wanted to ask you one quick question before we get into the nitty gritty about the legislative session and everything that's coming up. We see that in New York, you know, they canceled school there and now de Blasio saying, no, we're going to reopen. Here in Nevada, we still don't have our kids in school. We were talking about suicide rates earlier and the numbers we've seen in Nevada, particularly in the Clark County School District. What do you think is, what should we be doing in your opinion as an education professional?
Well, I believe in options and letting parents choose. You know, parents are consumers in education. And so with options, then parents have choices for their children and can decide to send their kids. They could do a hybrid model or fully virtual, but at least it would be a choice. I just got off the phone with a single mother who just was re-employed, and she's having a difficult time going back to work because her children will be home alone. And so having these different options, I think, would be the best, getting kids back to school. So you would have three options: hybrid, virtual, or all in person. And so I think that would be the best.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I agree with you. And I hope you're able to do that now. And you are really going to be one of our best advocates out there because you are an educator. And I think you're really going to be able to help with schools and getting them everything that they need so that their children are finally taken care of. And well, I know that this.
I think that our schools, our teachers are essential. Our school administrators are essential, much like nurses, doctors, police, firemen, grocery line workers, waiters, waitresses, all of these government essential workers, our teachers are essential. And so allowing them to have a choice, either virtual or full virtual because of different conditions that they may have, or allowing them, a lot of teachers want to get back to work and work safely. Of course, with, you know, the masks and the different PPP that we need, but definitely allowing that. Our schools are essential. And here's why. Our schools, they protect kids. They give meals. They provide counseling, social interactions with peers. And in some respects, in some of our at-risk communities, it also provides some health care. So dental services and various things that schools are not able to provide. If you just look at the Communities and Schools Organization, I mean, they provide a lot of wraparound services that are not being able to be given to students. And so it's more than just learning. It's, it's a whole infrastructure that is not there any longer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we definitely need to get those kids back in the classroom. I know that you're a mom and I'm a mom of two little girls. And I think the disservice that has been done to them is so much greater. This cure that they've created is so much worse than the disease. And that's why I'm so excited that you're going to be there to advocate for us. In fact, I'm excited overall that you're going to be able to advocate for us on so many issues in the state of Nevada when it comes to COVID. And one of my first questions is, I know you personally, and I followed you on social media, and it's so exciting to kind of watch you get your binders and your information and working on your first bills. But as you've met with the caucus, I know a lot of the focus of the legislative session is, of course, going to be financial with the budgets. We've had huge hits here in the great state of Nevada. But do you think there's going to be any possibility of talking about the gubernatorial powers that Governor Sisolak has used to basically control us by mandate? Do you think there's going to be any way to fight back for some of those constitutional freedoms that we've kind of lost in this 2020 year of the pandemic?
So I know that one of my colleagues in the assembly is looking to put through a bill that would do that. The problem becomes where we don't have the majority in either house. And so, although I do believe in balance of power and making sure that there are checks and balances, I just don't see that going too far. But of course, I think that needs to happen. I know that our governor needs to, be available to listen to people and stop stripping away our civil liberties for having our businesses, being able to provide for our families. And it's really sad when you don't have infrastructure set up, such as with Dieter and all the different people that are really struggling out there to even get somebody to call them back. And you have to have infrastructure set up before you collapse an economy.
So do you think it's great that you mentioned Dieter, because I know right before the Thanksgiving holiday, Dieter and the government decided to send out letters to thousands of Nevadans saying, oh, you need to pay all your unemployment back. You shouldn't have gotten it in the first place. Or you owe us 10 grand and you've got 15 days to pay it. And Barbara Buckley in her infinite wisdom was like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll set you up on a payment plan. The ineptitude of Dieter, I don't even know who's running Dieter right now. It seems like there's a different host in charge every week, and they get in fights with Sisolak and then they're gone. Can the legislature even do anything to address the ineptitude of Dieter so that we can start taking care of Nevadans?
Well, I wish. I'm telling you, my inbox is filled with complaints. People who have been approved but haven't received a penny, and a single mother I just got off the phone with who is struggling and still hasn't received anything, and she's debating on groceries or rent. And so we shouldn't have this happen. And I believe that there needs to be a full investigation of how to make things more effective than just flying by the seat of our pants, which it seems like that's what our leadership is doing.
I know that right now the Republican numbers are small, but I believe that the Republican numbers are mighty. The seats that we did win, like yours, took it back from the Democrats, makes us more of a player that the Democrats are going to have to work with us. The Democrats are going to have to negotiate. We're going to have to actually work together to get bills passed, particularly those that have a financial impact, because you're going to need that 2/3. But looking at the enormity of what the 2021 session is bringing, do you think that it's basically going to be focused on how to even keep Nevada afloat financially? Is that going to be the main focus?
I do think so. I mean, we did pick up seats. We picked up 3 in the assembly, and and it takes 2 in the Senate now in order for them to pass any taxes. So we definitely will, make it harder for frivolous tax increases to happen on people that are already struggling, on businesses that are already hurting. And I'm positive that we can make a bigger difference in 2022 with hopefully we can get a great candidate for governor and really rally behind and hit a bunch of doors to make sure that we can win back the governorship. That's vital. We need to do that and pick up a couple more seats to have either the Senate or the Assembly in 2022.
Absolutely. So it's important for you to focus on the legislative session in 2021, but we as Nevadans, we need to pay attention to that, but also be focusing on 22, because that's really our year to take things back. What's interesting, though, is, and I don't know, with everything that's happened with the census, I haven't gotten an answer to this, so I don't know if you do. Are they still going to be redistricting the maps in the 2021 session, even though we don't have full census numbers, or is that going to go on hold for a hot second?
Yes, that will happen. And I'm being told that I may not even be in my district.
What?
Well, I guess that they can redraw and just kind of paint you out. So, I mean, who knows what shenanigans will happen. The only thing we can do is get Republicans elected as much as possible in these open seats to bring more balance.
I had heard just like you confirmed that the Democrats had already drawn up the new maps. So if you aren't in your district, do they have to redraw that? Because you are the senator until 2024. They can't force you to move. I mean, what happens in that? Will they change it?
My district will be just different, right? And so it may be more unwinnable the way that they draw it.
And but they can't force you to move and live in your district.
They can't force me out. I have 4 years to be of service to all Nevadans, and I'm looking forward to that, to making a difference, to becoming a household name, and being more of service like I've done in my past career in education and schools and in school districts. And so they can't wipe me off for 4 years.
Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And one of the things that I love that you do, and I want you to plug your public social media pages, is you really are sharing the experience of being a first-time senator, everything from what it's like to pick the stationery to what it's like to go down to Carson City. You're really sharing the experience so we get that firsthand, you know, it's like we're there with you and we get to join the adventure with you. And I love that. So tell everyone how to follow you, but also tell us what it's been like, because I know that you've ran for office before. This was a huge, huge victory for you. It's huge that you're there. And I know that you're just overjoyed that you finally are going to have an opportunity to serve in such a powerful way.
Well, much like I've done in my past 25 years in education, it's being active, engaged, and really being with everyone. I mean, I'm just a person. I have a husband and a family, and I have grandkids that just I spent the week with. And so it's kind of neat to be able to share the experience on becoming a legislator, because I've always been a lifelong learner. I just finished USC Superintendent's Academy, just finished Georgetown Finance course on Edgenomics, which is economics and education. And so now being able to learn how to become a legislator and becoming a household name in which everybody can be like, oh yeah, I know that Carrie. She will, you know, she will help us. She will be transparent with integrity, and we'll just share, because being a legislator is really being with the people more so and lifting them up and being of service. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to bring to the table. So you can follow me on Facebook at Friends of Carrie Buck. Or you can email me at any time at CarrieBuck4, the number 4, Nevada, at gmail.com. And then my cell phone number, I always give that out also, 702-592-9740. I really also would encourage everyone to go to my website, CarrieBuck4Nevada.com, because I want you to sign up for the emails. And I'll be definitely sharing the different struggles and realities of Carson City being in the minority, and hopefully encouraging others to get involved, to run for office. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart. It is quite a sacrifice, especially for, you know, for someone that basically had a great life. And then now to be... you know, putting yourself out there, it definitely has been a sacrifice, but hopefully it'll be worth it. I do want to make a difference for my kids and grandkids, for our future, for Nevada.
Amen. And we do need more people running. I will concur with you that running, if I can be so bold, it kind of sucks. It's very hard. It's challenging on your family. It's challenging on you personally. It's challenging in every way that it can be challenging. And you get under a microscope that is just, you know, ridiculous, but it is worth it, because now you're in a place to really make a difference. And one of my biggest complaints over the years in media, especially when I was at Channel 8, was that we don't cover the legislative session. We cover it basically the first week when y'all get there, yay, and the governor does a state of the state, and then we show up the last 3 days of June, all the bills are being passed, and then everyone goes, what, how did that happen? I didn't know. One of the goals of this show is to really keep an eye on the legislature the entire session so that Nevadans know exactly what is going on, and so that we have a conservative voice covering this, not just people like liberal John Ralston. So I do hope that you'll continue to be a friend of the show and come back on and keep telling us the truth, what's really going on, what's going on with these bills, what do we need to be painfully aware of, because the lack of information is why we get run over, and that has to stop, Carrie.
Well, what was so enlightening to me when I was knocking on doors, people, you know, they don't really know who their state senator is, and if you think about it, that's 90% of the laws that are made are at the state level, and so it's so important that you know who your representatives are so that you have a voice in these different decisions. And you're not going to like everything. I mean, it's not easy. There's, you know, there's ways to balance it, but definitely would like to hear from people because I want to be of service, especially to all the constituents in SD5.
Absolutely. Well, I am just so thrilled for you, and I know the folks at home are as well. We can't wait to have you on again, along with many of your colleagues like Senator Pickard and Assemblywoman Hardy and just so many other great people. Thank you for your service. We are just overjoyed that you won, and we can't wait to have you back. Thanks so much, Carrie.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Be sure to check out her website as well so that you can support her financially, because it is tough to go out there. And despite what you might think, these folks don't get paid. They get a per diem, and it basically takes care of their, you know, hotel while they're out there. So support her financially. All right. Saved by the Bell. We're going to be talking about that show. God, I loved that show when I was a kid. I was in love with Zach Morris. But it's being rebooted. Kind of cool. But why has cancel culture already come for it? And what in the heck does it have to do with Selena Gomez? I'm going to tell you. Plus, tragic news for all my Star Wars fans. And yes, we're going to talk about Adele and Rebel Wilson. Love both of them. But why is everyone so obsessed with how much they weigh? That and so much more coming up.
Wondering if now is the time to buy or sell a home? Or is a market crash on the way? At Home, a real estate company, John Kennedy and his team will make sure you have all the information you need to make an informed decision. Home is where the heart is, and John Kennedy and his team are ready to lead you home. Give them a call today at 702-640-0101 or visit them at homerealestatecompany.com.
Hi, this is Michelle Mortensen, and if you know me, you know I support our veterans. And that's why I want to tell you about my good friend at Therapy Block LLC, our newest sponsor of the show. Therapy Block LLC, veteran-owned and operated. And many of their therapists are veterans themselves or active National Guard members. Therapy Blocks LLC is a pediatric physical, occupational, and speech therapy rehab outpatient clinic that also offers home visits and telehealth services for special needs children up to age 18. Therapy Blocks LLC follows all CDC guidelines to ensure the health and wellness of their clients and their families. They're located in the Southern Hills Hospital Medical Building on Sunset Road. Give our friends at Therapy Blocks LLC a call today at 702-419-8120. That number again, 702-419-8120. And tell them you learn about Therapy Blocks LLC right here on The Michelle Mortensen Show.
We're listening to some Adele. Well, she's amazing, number one. And I absolutely love her. I think she's fantastic. She's made some changes, though, here lately. I'm sure many of you have seen the changes that she's made. My question, though, is why is everyone so obsessed with how she and, yes, Rebel Wilson look? Okay, so that's a before and after that you're seeing of Adele right now. If you're watching us, if you're on the radio, you'll have to use your imagination. She looks freaking fantastic. Like, there's just no doubt in my mind. Look at her there. Oh my God. I wish I looked like Adele. She looks amazing. But people are obsessed talking about her dramatic weight loss. People are obsessed talking about how did she do it? Did she use green tea? Well, look at Rebel Wilson before and after. Also amazing. She is now down to 164 pounds. She's bragging about it on Instagram, and bragging about it is okay. Girl, if you lose weight and you want to brag about it, go ahead and do it. I am all for it. She looks freaking amazing. The question is, though, is why is the media so obsessed with this? Why is the media just, you know, to the point that they're like, how do they do it? They're so much thinner now. You know what? They were beautiful women before, and they're beautiful women now. It just drives me crazy that we have become so very weight obsessed. But kudos to both of them for just kicking butt and taking names. And God, I pray some of it rubs off on me. Saved by the Bell. Used to love this show. I'm sure you did too. The highly anticipated Saved by the Bell reboot. Facing huge backlash, though, from fans of Selena Gomez after some clips were shared on Twitter. Do you know what they said in those awful clips? So two of the characters had this conversation. I know for a fact that Selena Gomez's kidney donor was Justin Bieber's mom, one student said. God, I wish I had my phone so I could prove it. Student two says, prove what? That you're an idiot? It was Demi Lovato's kidney. They're best friends, like you and I were. That has people in an uproar? Oh, yeah. Twitter's like, WTF, what is wrong with this show and its obsession with Selena? This is effing disappointing, disgusting, and inappropriate. So much so that Saved by the Bell has said, we apologize. That's right. They've made a formal apology. It was never our intention to make light of Selena's health, the statement read. We've been in touch with her team and we'll be making a donation to her charity. Are you kidding me? We are so obsessed, so blatantly obsessed with cancel culture that now if a stupid TV show has a narrative about Selena Gomez, we have to apologize for it? Does no one understand jokes? Does no one understand humor? Is everyone a snowflake? Has everyone in the world become a Karen? Because I think they are. I mean, we got like 12-year-old girls who are on total Karen status these days because they're just like, can't hear you say something about my Selena. I mean, Selena's a great girl. She's got lupus. I totally feel for her. But my God, you're a public figure and public figures are talked about. I didn't see anybody shedding a tear when people treated Trump like crap. I don't see anybody shedding a tear when people go after Cuomo. No one does that. It is absolute ridiculousness on so many levels, and it just needs to stop. I can't stand it anymore. All right, one more thing I wanted to talk about. I've been deep teasing it a lot because I'm a big Star Wars fan, and we have lost Darth Vader. I don't know that I can go on. Darth Vader, the man who played Darth Vader, David Prowse, passed away on Sunday. He was 85 years old. I loved a story that I read about him. He said that a George Lucas said, hey, I've got one of two parts for you in Star Wars. The first is a hairy gorilla called Chewbacca. And I guess Prowse said, yeah, I don't want that. I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to be hairy. No, I want another part. And he goes, okay, great. George Lucas says the other part is the central villain. And David said, that's the part I want. Well, of course, George Lucas left out that he was going to wear a mask. No one would ever see his face. And my God, it wasn't even going to be his voice. It wasn't even going to be his voice. Because, of course, James Earl Jones is the voice of Darth Vader. But he has left us, and that is so sad. Everything says that he was just a fantastic, fantastic guy. And I absolutely love that about him. I also wanted to talk very, very briefly about the monolith. Did you hear that there is a monolith in Utah? Yes, there is. And it's absolute insanity that there is a monolith in Utah. Let me see if I can show it to you for a minute. Yes, there was this monolith. This is what it looks like. Very, very cool, right? It was found in the middle of nowhere. And then just like that, days ago, it went away. No more monolith, my friends. No more monolith at all. How in the heck does that happen? Someone better call George Knapp and get him on this because obviously the aliens came and took it back. Or maybe in my perfect world, you know, the doctor from Doctor Who came down and took it back to go somewhere else. Only if that doctor is David Tennant or what's his name, the one who wore the fez right after him. I haven't really enjoyed the other doctors very much. Nope, don't like them much at all. I think they're kind of boring and bland. All right, there I said it. I just made a whole bunch of Doctor Who fans so mad. All right, that is our show for today, but we are going to have another amazing show for you on Friday. We're going to be talking about COVID with a COVID expert who says that COVID is actually the biggest conspiracy and the biggest fake news story of 2020. What? Yeah, we're going to dive into that with our special guest. Plus, we're going to have so much more of the news of the day. Check out my YouTube page for daily content from me and be sure to subscribe as well at michellemortensen.com. Subscribers get access to all of the newsmakers, politicians, and celebrities that you love. No one else gets that, so you got to check that out. Can't do this show without my amazing team. Spencer is our executive producer and director. Lauren is our guest booking producer. And of course, we've got Danny running the board for us. Just an amazing team. It is November. It's the last day of November. I promise we're going to be doing cool Christmas music at some point. Not this, you know, not the lame stuff. You know, we're going to do the cool Christmas music if it exists. Maybe that means NSYNC. Maybe it doesn't. You'll have to tell me. But right now, we're going to end November with a little GNR and some November rain. That's right, my friend. Because nothing says November like Slash and Axl Rose. And on that note, I'll say goodbye, and I will see you here on Friday. Thanks so much for all your support. Thanks for listening on KSHP 1400 AM, and thanks for watching wherever you stream. Download our podcast, too, and share it. Do me a favor. I'll see you guys on Friday. Bye-bye.